Live with Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now 1-888-564-6173 or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
What up, what up? It's another beautiful Saturday night in Southern California. I'm so stoked the summer's here, finally. It's actually been raining like crazy out here, Jairus, and I don't like it. And it's been real cold. But the summer is coming back, so I'm super pumped. And speaking of summer, every year around this time, we just started doing a skate contest out in downtown Los Angeles. It's called it's the Whosoever's Best Trick Contest. We do it. We partner with a church up in Hollywood called Calvary Chapel Hollywood. And we do it at the skate park called The Barracks, which is a famous skate park. It's so exclusive that if you're not a pro skater or a sponsor skater, you can't skate it. But God's opened the door with Tom Rohr, which is a pro skater out of L.A., and he's actually listening now. What up, Tom? Thank you very much for this event today. we've been doing an event up there every year for the last 2 years, and we just basically promote it. We open it up to the public. And last year, I mean, we had over 700 people show up. Last year, we had Christian Nassori come up and tell a story. And then this year, again, we did it again with Brian Sumner, which he told his story today, which is also, he was a pro skater as well. And people are getting saved. It's so awesome because we opened it up for the community, for people that were never able to be able to come in and skate this skate park. They get to skate and they see all their favorite pros skate in this park, and then they get to actually come in and skate it. So it's just a rad event. We got free product. I mean, we had boxes and boxes of a product to give out. We had tacos. I mean, it was just a rad event. And then a bunch of people gave their life to God. And that's the whole reason why we do it, is because people need to know that there is a God that loves them. He's not religious. He wants a relationship with you. And we just go. Like Jesus says, go out and make disciples. He says, be in the world, not of the world. And we're supposed to get out and be with people and let them know who God is. And just so people can actually even see our life. And then as conversations happen and an opportunity happens, you give them the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission out of eternity to die for the sins of the world. And that whosoever would believe in him would not die spiritually, but live forever. Because we were created as eternal beings for heaven, but the relationship with God starts now. And we've seen some dudes that flew all the way from New York City. They knew that the barracks was going to be open to the public, so they flew all the way from New York City. They came out to the event and they accepted the Lord, which was so awesome that God had a divine appointment for them. Did you know that story?
I had no idea. So sick.
So they flew all the way across thinking that they were going to skate this exclusive skate park, which they did.
Right.
But then they found Jesus today and gave their life to God. So just a rad, rad thing. So again, thank you, Tom Rohr, for having us out. And thank you, Barrick Skate Park, for having us out. And it's going to be an annual event. We're going to do it every year around this time. And just keep reaching into the community and letting people know that God loves them. So, Jairus, let me give a little background on you. Jairus Hodge from Calvary, St. Pete, over in Florida. He's been on our show, had you on probably months ago after we got back from Mexico. You toured with the Whosoever's. We did the Kill the Noise in Mexico City, Cuernavaca. And you were actually the MVP for the events because we did like 8 or 9 schools events with thousands of kids. And you were actually skating, demoing basically before these events even started. And the kids were going crazy. I don't think they've ever seen a kickflip before. I don't think they've ever seen a heel flip before. I don't think they've ever seen an acid drop. I don't think they've even seen skateboarding at the level that you were doing in front of these kids. They were going completely bonkers. And some of the mayors that were introducing us or the government officials, they would show up late to the events, like an hour or two. So you had to keep skating. What was that like?
It was crazy. I had no idea I was going to be skating that much.
Neither did I, by the way.
I know, because you invited me out, and you told me that we were doing the last day event, which was the outreach. We built the ramps and we did it in the Cuernavaca, like downtown center area. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was going to be it. But the first morning we're up at 6:30. You're like, hey, grab your board just in case we can like, you know, skate in the beginning. And that's what started it all.
That's right. We're in the hotel room and you're like, hey, dude, should I grab my board? I'm like, yeah, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Because last time we were here Mexico, we were just, we'd walk up, we'd do the concert and then do the event. But this time it totally flipped. So thank God you brought a couple boards. So you not only shredded every school, but also we did that best trick contest, which was downtown in Cuernavaca.
Yeah.
So before we get into this, you know, I want to talk to you about some other things, about finding your call in life and how God's using you, because God's done some rad things with you. But what was your impression when we went down on the Whosoever's trip down to Mexico? Like what you expected and then how it went down?
Well, I knew about you guys doing it, doing all those high school and middle school tours in the U.S., and I had you guys in St. Pete to do that.
Yep.
And that's, we talked about that before in the mm-hmm. last radio show in Florida. So yeah, definitely curious, like, what are the kids going to be like in Mexico? What's the vibe like? What's the response like to your story? Because I know from talking to you that there was the same response the kids are getting in like Australia and Canada and like, and already in Central America. So it was just sick to be able to go. But yeah, that was kind of in the back of my mind, just like the new experience of going to Mexico. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, you've never been there, huh?
Right, yeah. And I'm like so just like so engulfed in the kids in the U.S. So yeah. Just like called to them and learning from you and then doing my own stuff and, you know, youth pastor back at home.
Yep.
So really wondering what the kids are like there. And then we actually met, is it Alexia or Alexis? I forget. I
think. Yeah, Alexis.
And she started telling us right away what they were like.
What they were going through.
Yeah. And one of the things that specifically I made note, like in my little laptop diary, was that they definitely didn't have stuff, you know, like kids in America did, but they had a lot more joy. Like they were psyched about the skating, you know, like if I was skating, you know, in the U.S., they might be psyched, but the kids, they were just super, they were psyched because we were there. They didn't care. They were just psyched that, you know, we were an event, we were doing stuff, I was skating, and there was a lot more happiness, you know, a lot more joy. I don't know. That was one specific difference, but it was also at the same time what you had said before about the kids responding all over the place.
Yeah.
That it was the same thing, you know, just, and that was just over and over mind blowing watching God, you know, hundreds of kids at the end of just skating, throwing out stuff and sharing a story, hundreds of kids just being like, yeah, I need that same answer.
It's so interesting because we were talking about, you know, we did go to Florida, St. Pete. We did tour through that whole area, Venice Beach in Florida, St. Pete, a couple of the other areas with your church. And, you know, I told you, you know, it doesn't matter where we go in the world, if we're in Australia, Mexico, East Coast, West Coast, Seattle, Boulder, Colorado, you know, Atheist Central, all these different places. I'm like, New York City, it doesn't matter. The gospel, we just tell the same message and we're seeing the same response everywhere we go.
Yeah.
So then we go to Mexico and we're like, how's this story going to translate to, you know, this whole different group of people? But it's the same thing. Because what is it? It's all we're doing is we're just telling people, you know, we made some mistakes, but God loves us. He forgives us. And the job of the Holy Ghost is to transform us from the inside out. And then as you fall in love with God and he starts showing you that life that you were created for, he starts orchestrating all those things in your life, like your job, your wife, your husband, your kids, your career, all these things. God starts laying it all out. It's not like we just run to God and go, I want to give my life to God so he'll just, you know, prosper me. It's not a prosperity gospel. It's head to the cross, forgiveness of sins, filling with the Holy Spirit, be powered by the Holy Spirit and start living that life that you were created for.
It wasn't even the kids too. Like we saw like the government officials.
One of the bears gave their life to the Lord.
Right, yeah.
And the government officials, the other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. It was crazy.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Anointed, man. It was crazy.
It was awesome, awesome times. So we're going to be taking you on tour again, obviously. You know, I don't know. We have Colombia coming up.
Sick.
We got to give you those dates.
Yeah.
Colombia's coming up. We're going to be touring Colombia for 10 days in Bogota. And then we're going to Hong Kong. That just opened up to Hong Kong. And then We're trying to get into Iceland right now. Yeah, Iceland. Iceland is rated the most godless country in the world.
Really?
Yeah, the most godless country. Now, Boulder, Colorado, is rated the most liberal city, and then in the United States, and then which we showed up there too,
right?
And a bunch of people got saved,
right?
Everyone that showed up, it wasn't a large crowd, but everyone that showed up, like the Holy Spirit dropped, and everyone got saved.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Iceland, dude, right now I'm just like, I'm praying for Iceland because if it's, I mean, there's like one church I had to do my homework on the different churches there, and all listeners, if you know any legit churches in Iceland that preach the gospel, that stick to every single word, have them contact me. I want to talk to them. But I did my research and I guess there's only one church that was in an article. There's one church that I know of in the main city of Iceland that actually believes like us and from like Genesis to Revelations, and that every word is, you know, the word of God, and they're not light on certain subjects. Just it is what it is. Sin, sin. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess there's a lot of churches that just don't really touch too much on sin. It's just more like seeker friendly or whatever. So I literally tracked down the one church and emailed them and was like, hey, we know you guys are the most godless country. God's been using us to travel around and lead a lot of people to the Lord. We're not here to plant a church, but we want to come work alongside you guys and do an outreach or outreaches. And we want to get as many people saved, and then we want to plug them into your church. I think their church is like, they're like, we have a big church. It's about 50 people.
Wow.
Dude, like, that's, I mean,
yeah.
And that's the main city.
For sure.
And that's considered a big church there.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Is that crazy? Dude. Yeah. And that even might be with their youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're praying to go there, man. So, we're going to have skating. We're going to do music. I mean, get into schools. I don't even know how it's all going to work, but a lot of doors are opening for the movement. And we just want to get everyone on board to keep taking the land as much as possible. But what I want to talk to you about, Jairus, is, you know, you come from a background where you grew up in the church, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you went out. You just went out and you weren't like a pirate and just went crazy, right? You're actually the opposite.
Yeah.
So this is an awesome testimony. A lot of people say, "Well, do I need to go out and get my testimony?" Your testimony is that you actually stayed away from all the gnarly stuff and continue to follow God, even though you do battle. You have battled with things, and you do battle with things, just like the things that I still can battle with, and a lot of people that are listening now, which we'll get into this stuff a little bit later. But the most hardcore thing, I think, is to not fall into the things of the world, the draws. Because that's easy to do. Everyone's doing it. Why not?
Right.
I think the most punk rock and hardcore thing to do is to not fall into that stuff and to stay set apart for what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a little overview of how you actually did it. And you went through some pretty crazy things too with your guys' church, and there could have been a lot of reasons for you to kind of veer away from things. How'd you stick to God and not go into the things of the world, in a sense, and what things were you tempted with, you know, to like as you were growing up?
Yeah. My dad was the pastor of our church that I grew up in all my life, mm-hmm. and I had three other siblings, so. In church, we called those PKs, pastor's kids.
Yeah.
So we're the PKs, and it was a fairly large church, so that's kind of a different vibe. You know, like a few thousand people, and they kind of, you know, they know you as the PKs, as the pastor's kids. So mm-hmm. grew up in that, but at a young age, like, I got it, you know, like it clicked. Like, God is real, that God loves me.
What was that moment? How did it happen?
Well, there's the moment I always remember is a really young age, like seven. I remember being seven and, you know, in church, they give you the sinner's prayer, Jesus, forgive me my sins, come into my life. I remember doing that when I was about seven or so. I was with my mom at church doing music. We were singing music. I was standing with her in the auditorium, like in the congregation. And I just knelt down by myself and said that prayer.
And that was it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but that's like what I remember.
But a lot of people do that and then they just kind of walk away later on in life.
Right. But I like got it.
Yeah.
I was stoked about it, but I mean, as I grew up, I kept on, like, because I understood that it was legit, not, it still had to become my own faith. Like, not just because my dad was a pastor, not just because my parents were Christians or like everyone around me is Christians, you know, because it was hard to growing up in a big church and being the pastor's kids, you can get stuck in a bubble of the church so easily. So I think honestly, what really saved me from that was skateboarding. It was the beach a little bit because I did like skimboarding in Florida and stuff and a little bit of surfing, but mostly the skate park. Because that gave me the perspective of the world that I didn't have as much like being in the church.
Yeah.
So growing up and having that, and then just growing up middle school and high school, I was involved in church. Like that was a big thing. I was involved with people. And I just kept on seeking God because I knew he was real. Like they would tell me to read my Bible, so I'd start doing that. They'd tell me to pray, so I'd start doing that. And they'd tell me to have this kind of friendship, this kind of relationship with people. So I strived for that, like in middle school and high school. But the temptation I had that did get me was pornography. Mm-hmm. And that held me back in my faith and my walk through all middle school and high school. But there's still, like that's a whole nother story. But as far as anything else, like you're talking about, as far as like the skate world's got the drugs and the girls and the drinking and the partying and stuff like, and I went to public high school 13 years.
Yeah. So Right.
Fundamental public high school. So like, so I knew it all, you know,
but that's interesting that you said, you know, they just told me, you know, read the Bible, get in church, pray, be around, you know, you don't want to be, if you're basically bad company, corrupts good morals, you know?
Right.
So they told you in church, if you go by these aren't rules. I want to be very, I don't want people to say like I'm laying out rules. The church didn't lay out rules for you.
No.
They just said, hey, if you basically, you want a good life, you want to live that life you were created for, these are just, do these simple things.
Yeah.
And your whole life will transform. And that's the same things that that the Bible instructs us to do now. And what we tell people through this radio show is like, dude, read, pray, get around people that are like-minded. So you're all going in the same direction. If you're around people that are watching porn and smoking weed and doing this and that, dude, you're going to end up there sooner or later. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like whoever you're around is what you become. That's, you know, look at your friends and you can tell where you're going, basically. But it's awesome how you heard it and then you took heed to it and you just did it.
Yeah. And that's how they told me. It wasn't like, it wasn't rules.
It's not rules and regulations.
Yeah. It really was like, because God's real, because you get it. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, you want to see him start working more and building you up more, this is what you got to do.
And that's for people right now that they're not even in high school. This is for like me. This is what I live by.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it never changes. You keep living that life.
Yeah. So I learned that as a young age and grew in that, and that's ultimately what saved me. And I was addicted to porn from middle school and high school.
How'd you see porn for the first time? Where was it?
With a friend when I was like,
he just showed you, or you guys just
11. No, we went up to my room and he was like, yo, type this into the computer. And I just didn't question it. And then something about, you know, girls, and I typed it in and we both watched stuff, like looked around stuff for a little bit, and then like got caught by the parents and I couldn't hang out with him for a little while. And that was kind of it. And then
were you hooked? You were hooked right there at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I ended up going back to it, and then the lies and the hiding and that just ate me up for like 6 years while I was at church. And like my relationship with God was real, but most of the relationship, I mean, everything that wasn't like doing what I'm supposed to do, everything, like he was still speaking to me. I was still like growing in certain ways, but it hindered so much because the relationship was, I mean, it was like a bad relationship with a person because I had this thing that I kept on holding back against him. And I knew that he knew it. I just wouldn't shake it, you know, and I wouldn't actually give everything to him.
It's grieving the Holy Spirit, too.
Right.
The Holy Spirit wants to work.
And I heard him constantly just like,
oh, that's what he does. Yeah. You know,
he would tell me clearly, too.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still would read my Bible. I still would. Yeah. I'd talk to my buddies about it because that's what I was told. Yeah. Like, you got to be real with your friends as Christians so they can encourage you. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I mean, at the end of the story and at the end of high school, when I first started dating my first real girlfriend, who's now my wife, God put a virus in the computer that like kind of forced me to like tell my dad everything. And like all of the work as a Christian per se that I'd done, like the reading and the praying and like still seeking God and talking to friends and stuff, that kind of just brought the tidal wave of healing when I did actually give it up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Cause you know, you could have went the opposite direction. It's just been like, you know what? I'm doing this, I'm watching the pornography and all that. So I'm just going to stop reading. I'm going to stop praying. But your heart was like, you still wanted God. You were going after him, but you had the struggle.
Yeah.
And that's awesome because there's a lot of people that, you know, me, everyone, you know, we all have these struggles in our life that we're dealing with currently, you know, and you just got to keep pressing in. You got to keep pressing in. You know, it's so easy to get discouraged and, you know, when you're struggling with your anger or bitterness or someone did you dirty or, you know, and you just get mad and you hate them and, you know, or a Christian burns you or whoever, you know what I mean?
Well, that's, I mean, you mentioned like my church going through stuff.
Yeah.
And the same thing with porn, the same thing with my church going through stuff. I mean, my church basically had just this big division that was really hard to go through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pain all over the place. But I think about porn in my personal life, and I think about the church thing, just going through church problems.
Yeah.
But the answer is, it really is always Jesus. Like, you always go back Jesus. To Jesus, and it filters out through the porn addiction. You go back to Jesus, and it filters through when church people are imperfect, you know?
Yep.
And that's also why I didn't run away from church. I, like, you know, because I had those like thoughts in the back of my mind, like, I just, I've experienced the worst of church,
mm-hmm.
but church is not supposed to be a bunch of perfect people acting perfectly. Go back to Jesus, and then it all filters out. And it, for the past couple of years of my life, has been doing nothing but filtering out.
Jesus is the filter. Jesus is, yeah, is, you just got to head to Jesus. And there's listeners right now that are going through this right now. You just got to keep pressing in to Jesus. Keep praying, keep reading, keep going to church. You may be in a storm. You will get through it 100%, but don't stop. Because when you stop, you lose the connection to God. You're not communicating with him. There's no more relationship because you're just doing your own thing. And what happens is those things that you're struggling with, it's going to lead to other things, other sins and other things in your life. And it's just going to get increasing and increase. And next thing you know, you're going to be like, how in the heck did I drift from where I was to where I'm at now?
Yeah, right.
But you got to keep pressing in no matter what. And there's the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And there's that grace and mercy and the forgiveness of sins. He loves you. He's going to forgive you. And he's going to help you through the power of the Holy Spirit to get through those moments. So you did get through those moments. You overcame the pornography. Does it ever come back and haunt you sometimes?
All the time.
Okay, good. That means you're normal.
Right.
Okay, great. Sure. And then the bitterness and the stuff from the church stuff, did you get over that with your heart? Did God work through that in time?
Yeah. And it takes time, work, and it did take time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, a lot of really hard conversations with my wife, just like processing things, you know, mm-hmm. trying to not let roots of bitterness grow and just confusion. And I mean, again, like, you keep going back to Jesus, and he helps you filter through those thoughts
mm-hmm.
instead of being like, I'm going to figure out all these thoughts. I'm going to understand everything so that I'll survive. But it's the opposite. You know, I just kept on going back to Jesus, and he would help me over time learn how to filter things out, let go certain things, understand certain things, forgive people, you know, mm-hmm. and do it the way he said.
So like when you're going through something, like, first I'll say I use myself for the situation, and I want to hear your example. But, you know, if you're like, when you say, you know, you keep going back to Jesus, this is for the listeners. You're going back to Jesus. You keep going back to Jesus. They're like, well, what do you mean he keeps going back to Jesus? You're talking to him. You're praying to him. God, why am I going through this? And all of a sudden he'll put a verse in your mind. You know, like, you talk to him, you're asking him questions, and then he speaks back to you through different verses. And that's how I learned how God speaks to us a lot through our heart, is that when we're in these times and we need these answers, the Holy Spirit pulls back the verses that we've read. So as we read the Bible, sometimes we read it and we're like, what are we getting out of it? But that's all going into our hard drive. So when we're talking to God and he starts answers, he starts pulling these scriptures and remind us, and he speaks to us because the verses are his voice.
Mm-hmm.
So he speaks to us through these verses. So when you're keep running back to Jesus through these times in your life, he's popping these verses in your mind. How is he speaking to you?
All kinds of ways, dude, because I'm seeking him in all kinds of ways. Like, I read his word, but mm-hmm. I mean, like, you've talked plenty before, just like podcast stuff, I mean, the music I listen to, the people hang around. Like,
so you'll hear a lyric. You'll hear a lyric in a song.
Yeah, 100%.
And he'll speak to you, lyric. You'll hear podcasts. You'll hear through people to talk, you know, like music, a Bible study.
He did it the other day. I mean, he spoke through the Bible to me very clearly. That recorded it the other day. Mm-hmm. He spoke twice in the past week through people talking to me prophetically. He spoke through music all the time or listening, you know, like the Pastor Chuck. And, like, you know, Pastor Chuck has passed away, but then, like, the Lord uses him to speak to you so specifically, you know, like, all the time, for sure. But, I mean, the Bible says if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And that's just it. And I tell the kids that, like, I pastor back at home, you just keep fighting. You do it every way you can. Get rid of anything that's going to distract you. And if you want it, you got to go get it, kind of thing.
And 100.
Sometimes it takes some time, you know, but he'll be there. He'll show up.
We want to hear from you. This is Ryan Reese. We're in studio with Jairus Hodge from Calvary St. Pete, and he has a sick ministry out there called Zeal. What's it called? What's the slogan?
Yeah, Zeal. Keep it real.
Keep it real. Keep it zeal.
Shout out.
why don't you guys call in? We want to hear from you. If you want to talk about any of these topics that we're talking about tonight, 888-564-6173, 888-564-6173. We want to take your guys' calls. We want to hear from you. And I don't know. We already got it. We got a phone call we want to take in a few minutes. Let me give out that number one more time. 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. We want to hear from you to talk about any of these topics we're talking about on the air. So when you just said you keep seeking him and you will find him, or what was that verse you just quoted?
You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you.
Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Why don't you break that down, what that looks like?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I mean, and like you said before, it's not just like religion, not just a bunch of rules. You have to do this, but it's just you seeking God. And it's praying to God, which is just talking to him.
Just talk wherever you're at,
right? Up, yeah, all the time.
You don't have to be on your knees.
All day, every day, yeah. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not, you know, like different ways.
Yep.
Like on my knees, on my face, in the car, skating.
Yep.
Sometimes I go and get that alone time and just talk to God.
Yep.
Sometimes I just let myself just like my brain flow, just reading the Bible a bunch.
Anywhere.
Taking notes, recording stuff, listening to the music and the podcast and stuff. Just doing everything I can to seek God, to learn from God. A big part of it is waiting on God, like the praying thing. Like asking questions, specific questions to God.
What is waiting? Because that's a common terminology people say, you know, just wait on God. What does that look like? What does waiting on God mean?
Two things.
Like, do you just pray and just sit around and wait for him to talk right back that moment? Or
sometimes I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, the bigger one, is just waiting in general. Like, I think a bigger thing about that is to ask specific questions, but then. Oh, you know, you never know when you're getting. I mean, I have things right now I could list off to you that I'm praying for, that I've been praying for months.
Yeah, so it could be months.
Right,
waiting.
It could, yeah. And I mean, you got stories in the Bible where it took years before prayers are answered.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I'm praying on my knees and I just sit in silence. I mean, you've told stories about you doing that with God. You just sit. Mm-hmm. Maybe he talks back. Maybe he just kind of speaks to you in the sense that you have inside and you just know it's him. But it's different. But like learning that it's different. Sometimes and knowing kind of like understanding that more, that's what helps more than anything.
Learning to hear his voice. He does speak in different ways and we have to tune our ears to hear and it takes time, but practicing listening, that's how you learn.
Yeah.
You know, and he will speak, but remember, all things work together for good for those that love Christ according to his purpose. He's working out his eternal plan and purpose. So sometimes you have to wait to hear back from him. Sometimes he doesn't answer right away. We're going to be going to break in a couple minutes, and then we're going to come back right after the break with Jairus Hodge. Hey, the Whosoever's, we tour public schools and middle schools around the world. Go to thewhosoever's.com, contact us, book us. We want to come out. We want to bring the good news to the schools, and then we want to get these students back to your guys' church. So contact us. We would love to partner with you guys through the schools. We'll be back in 2 minutes right after the break.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now, 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say we didn't warn you.
Loud noises!
Yep. Right before the break, we were talking about hearing God's voice and waiting on God. That's what you said, Jairus. So that's a common thing heard in the church or when you're talking to believers. They're like, yeah, man, you just got to wait on God. And waiting on God means just waiting for God to answer prayer. And God doesn't always answer prayers immediately. Sometimes he answers right away. But like you were saying, there's a lot of Bible stories that take years. Who was that? Was that Leah that was praying for a kid for who was that praying for a kid for years? I can't even remember. She came into the temple and she was weeping and they thought she was drunk and she says it's too early in the morning. I'm not drunk. I'm crying because she couldn't have a kid.
Yeah,
I can't remember who it was exactly. But that Hannah, they just told me Hannah. But that was years and years of prayer waiting on God.
Yeah,
you know. And then some prayers are just answered.
Yeah,
you know, immediately.
Moses, Abraham, all kinds of stuff.
So just wait on God. And you know what's awesome about the Bible is it's so relevant. It's like you just read the Bible. These Bible stories are there to show us examples of what these men of faith went through because we go through the same stuff because we're men and women of faith. Mm-hmm. We love Jesus. We're following him. He's speaking to us. And there are examples to show that we're normal. We're going through the same things that a lot of these people have gone through.
Yeah, it's normal.
So we just wait on God. And God answers prayers in his timing. Why? Because he's working out his eternal plan and purpose in our lives. And God's only going to give you what's good for you. He's not going to give you something that's going to destroy your life. So if you're praying for something and you're like, why isn't he giving it to me? I want that girl. She's so hot.
Right.
Well, you know, maybe that girl's going to spin you out of control. I've heard that story way too many times.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Too many times. Or that guy. Okay,
right.
I'm not,
true.
Guys are crazy too.
Really?
Maybe more crazy. All right, well, let's take this call. Here we go. Did you want to say that story about your youth group with
Oh, yeah,
kids?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, there's a bunch of the high school and middle school kids that I pastor back at home and just talking about seeking God and the numb feeling of, like, waiting on God. I don't feel God's Holy Spirit, like, over and over, man. I think of so many kids that come to mind. And one girl in my youth group that was feeling that, I don't even think that she knows that I knew that. And God just spoke to her this past week from my message, just teaching the word faithfully.
Yep.
And she let me know after. She was like, I needed to hear that. And she's like, God spoke to me. So
she was going to church week after week.
Yeah,
and she just felt like it wasn't like connecting.
Yeah, she was just seeking the Lord and just not feeling it.
Yeah.
Which is way common and way normal.
Yeah.
And it was just cool because I was thinking about it because I watched God eventually answer that and it happened for her last week.
It just broke. After she had a breakthrough.
Her, yeah, that was it.
Yep.
It was sick.
And you know, when that happens, dude, everything changes.
Yeah.
The first time, like when, I mean, obviously every time after too.
Right.
But once you like connect to God and you're like, wow, okay. Like it just all clicks at one moment. And then that's when like, you're just like, dude, I want more of this. I want more. And that's why you keep seeking them. And as you seek them, you keep finding them. But it's just, I think a lot of people struggle with that, just that first connection. I mean, I know I struggled with that a lot when I was younger because I grew up in the church, but I never had that, like, that connection. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then once I encountered that connection with God, I was like, whoa, like, I want more of this. And I've been just going after it ever since, you know? So dope. All right. Egosio, is that his name?
Egosio?
How you doing? Is this Egosio?
It's Egosa.
Egosa. Okay. We're trying to figure that out in the studio. What's up, brother? How you doing, man? What's your question tonight?
Oh, you want to hear a praise report?
Sure.
First, before I get to the question?
Yeah.
All right. Here's
make it kind of short, though, because we have other phone calls we got to take.
All right. Call me EG, though.
Okay. Easy. All right. Perfect.
All right. I admit it. I skipped 4 days of purity, but I regained back my purity by letting go, you know, those things that were haunting me.
Okay.
The reason why I kind of missed those four. Is because I was haunted by a situation involving a film director whose people took out whose words people took out of context because they were accusing him of thinking of not being represented not representing female characters right in movies. But here's the catch. Here's how I got over it. I realized it was all a hoax because it was taken out of context. But here's what God did. I ended up letting go of that situation by realizing that we need to treat women better in the Lord. We need to see women better, see women the way God sees women, and that not everything is what is and things should go beyond the surface because a lot of people were taking his words out of context so that they can attack him. But it was all a hoax.
Okay.
But here's the good news though. I started filtering. I use a filter system called Coming to Eyes nowadays to filter out, sensual content so I can get closer to God.
Right, right. So you don't get wrapped up in the pornography. So hold on, let me just be clear. So you basically got caught up in like pornography or something and now you're trying to get back with God and get your purity back, correct? That's the question.
Not necessarily pornography, but still sensual stuff.
Okay. All right. So the question is, how do you get your purity back with Christ, right?
Yeah, I'm still a believer, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very simple. Basically, what happens is you just you ask for repent. You ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And God forgives you.
Yeah.
And then what happens? I'm gonna let you cover this part.
Yeah,
Garris.
Well, coming what we were talking about earlier. And my dad always taught me kind of the not to expect that kind of growth to come, but you got to make it happen. Like that time with the Lord, you can't just wait for it to happen. You got to make it happen. So with purity, what I learned from me being addicted to pornography was to constantly seek replacement for those thoughts. I had to take away the bad thoughts. But when you have like your brain and you take away the bad thoughts, it's almost like a cup that goes empty. You got to fill it with something else. Or else it's going to stay empty. And once it stays empty, the devil starts throwing stuff in it. So I'd replace that with the word. I'd replace that with the music, with the podcast, with the conversations of friends. And then do that as much as I possibly could. And then keep fighting the fight. And it took time for God to heal my mind, to retrain my mind. Like the word says, Romans chapter 12, where it says that he renews our mind and he changes our mind. But that's as we give our life to him, we seek him. And it really, like the lesson I learned was I wasn't giving 100%. And only you know, between you and God, if you really are giving 100% or not. And if you are giving 100%, then you're going to start seeing victory and he's going to start renewing your mind and changing you.
100%. You know, that one verse I said earlier was we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. And that's the beautiful thing about what was done on the cross when Jesus says it's finished. He defeated Satan and the principalities, and as we believe in him, that he will forgive us with the blood that was shed on the cross, and he empowers us with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we live in a culture that everything's sex.
Yeah.
I mean, just go on Instagram. I mean, some of the most, and I don't want to drop any names here, but there's some of the most famous Instagram people that are, celebrities and different people. Their whole vibe is they're pushing, like, nakedness. I mean, you look at the news.
Yeah.
If you just look at the news, like, oh, so-and-so out with, with their family trip out to the Bahamas.
Right.
Or so-and-so shows up today and she's basically half naked. It's like, dude, everything's basically sex nowadays.
Yeah.
And a lot of people struggle with that because they're trying to walk with God and they're trying to get their eyes on God, but because of the things of their past or because of the struggles of what's just in our face on front of album covers or just on news or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a hardcore battle.
Yeah.
But the good thing is don't be condemned. You know, Satan's the condemner. And I think the enemy likes to definitely like keep a lot of people tripped up in condemnation. And they think they can never be good enough. They can never get through it. And, why am I still struggling? Well, guess what? If you live in this world and you're looking at any kind of social media or any kind of news channels, you're going to see this stuff.
Right.
It's not a sin to see it, but it's a sin to act out on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It talks about it in James. Mm-hmm. So basically what we need to do is when you see that stuff, you just got to like not marinate on it and be like, let your mind wander. You just got to be like, oh, okay, moving on,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So
I do that with a lot of guys back at home, too.
I mean, you deal with a lot of students that are condemnation from this stuff, right? And they're trying to get off pornography. I mean, this
one
is common.
One kid specifically that's exactly saying that, you know? Like, he'll go a little while without watching, and then he will, and he'll feel, like, you know, really down about it. But I'll tell him. I'll be like, the most important thing is, like, you tell me, be accountable, I'm like, you're forgiven. Did you repent to the Lord? Okay, sick. Did you talk
it's
to
done.
Us?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's move forward. Let's keep on going.
Yep.
Get back in the Bible. Get back on your knees. Get in the Word. Keep on talking to us. Just keep on pushing that.
You keep pressing forward.
Yeah. That's what Paul said. Let go of the past. Keep on moving forward.
Keep moving forward. But that, dude, the past haunts people.
Yeah.
The past haunts people. I don't know. When I gave my life to God, I just knew it was finished.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew. I mean, I was out. We were doing a tour out in New York, New Jersey, and Philly, and we ended up doing a conference called the Vertical Identity Conference with Bridge Radio. We're on Bridge Radio right now as we speak in New York and New Jersey. But, a lot of the people that were showing up, they just feel like they couldn't be forgiven, you know, from their past, the things they've done. And that just trips them up. And the enemy loves to keep people in there. It's like almost like when the Israelites left Egypt, and then they had a short 11-day journey to the promised land, to Israel, but they got tripped up in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And that experience of being locked up with that condemnation is that wilderness experience. God took you out from being a slave to take you to the land of milk and honey, that spirit-led life in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the forgiveness of sins, being walking by the Spirit, letting go of the things of the past, like you said.
Right.
Coming boldly to the throne of grace.
Filled with peace.
It is finished.
Right.
You know, Satan defeated Satan on the cross. It is finished. He forgave us. That's the land of milk and honey. That's the spirit-led life that God created us for. But there's a lot of us that get stuck in that condemnation, in that wilderness experience. And you don't have to stay there. You got to believe and receive the forgiveness, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and live, just start living that life and just believe what the Word of God says. Either the Bible's true or it's not.
Right.
So if it's true, then read it. Know what God says about you, and you're going to live in peace.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Because then you know how God feels about you. You're all tripped up in your head. Because those are lies.
Yeah, and that's...
Don't believe everything you think.
It might have been you that God used to say that so clearly to me about taking a scripture and just claiming it. Like Romans 8:1, I know it now. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if I give my life to Jesus, that doesn't mean I'm perfect.
Nope.
But that does mean that all of my sins go under the cross because he paid for it when he died for me. And every time I sin, I can claim I'm forgiven, I'm not condemned, in the name of Jesus, and I make myself move forward. And I claimed it, like that phrase. And I think it was you that God used to put that in me that just started, you know, retraining my mind to how to move forward. You got to claim what the Word says and just make yourself move forward. You got to go.
If not, you just get stuck.
Exactly.
You get stuck, and then you're not effective, and the enemy, Satan, is just laughing because he's like, look at this guy that God has a plan for, he's stuck.
Yeah.
He's stuck in the wilderness.
Around, yeah.
Good for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing. It's like the double-minded man. You're like, you want to follow God, but then you're going to the things of the world. So you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Weak sauce. All right, I'm going to grab this next call. Corey, what up, Corey? How you doing tonight?
What's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
No worries, man. What's your question?
All right, I'm a little bit nervous here, but I have been...
Don't worry, man. Take it easy.
So long, you have no idea.
You what?
And I've been following you guys for so long, you have no idea.
Since 2009? 8?
Yep.
Sick. Right on.
When you guys are there.
Where do you live? Where are you from?
Redlands.
Okay, awesome.
And thing is, I was all wrapped up in meth and pornography and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And I actually climbed out of it.
Dope.
I've been sober off of all that stuff and for over about a decade now.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I have no urge to look at any of the pornography that I prayed that God remove that from me. And literally the next day, I didn't want to look at it ever again.
There it is. There it is.
Now, I feel stuck. Like, I don't know what to do with my life. And I have another problem that my dad's a doctor. He claims that it's from the damage that the meth did, but I didn't do it long enough for it to do this bad. Is I feel like I don't know if it's demons or what, but I feel like people everywhere I go, like when I'm walking out in public or something, like they're just like they'll laugh at me or they'll look at me or something. And he just says I'm paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I see and what I don't see.
Yeah.
And I know God's communicated with me on several occasions where there's no doubt in my mind it was him speaking to me. So I don't know what you guys could say, like, what would you do? I mean, does it sound like, have you ever heard of anything like that?
I mean, I've talked to people that have, you know, people that weren't believers that were showing up, that were hearing voices, you know, that were being oppressed by, you know, demons and stuff like that. This is a loaded question because I don't know you and I haven't got the chance to hang out with you and hear the whole story. Maybe you could be being oppressed. Maybe there was some damage done, you know? I mean, it could be a million things. I mean, I would personally like to meet up with you if you want to connect at Calvary Chapel Diamond Bar one day. And I mean, I would tell you personally, go to God because he's in control and he's the healer. He can do whatever he wants, number one. So I would ask God that God would reveal what's going on. I would fast. I would pray and ask God for breakthrough. And I'm going to pray for you right now. But definitely, you know, if you want to meet up and have a longer conversation, you could come meet up with me in Diamond Bar and we could sit down you know, kind of wrap out a little bit more and see what's going on with you and lay our hands on you and pray for you, you know?
Yeah, because I've been wrecked. Like, I don't even listen to the same music anymore.
Yeah, totally.
TV's been messed up for me. Like, I can't listen to songs with cussing in it anymore.
Yeah, God's doing something. It's a process. God's doing a cleanup process in you right now. And the fact that you got rid of the pornography overnight, you've been sober, you know, 10 years. I mean, that's just God right there. He's in your life. He's doing it. And I'm going to pray for you right now. But definitely, you know how to get a hold of us, man. Call the church and or shoot us an email to the whosoevers, and we'll set up a day and a time for you and I to meet up and you know, drink some coffee and talk.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for Corey. God, you're everywhere, Lord. So I ask in the name of Jesus that you just touch Corey. I pray that you will just touch his life and heal him, Lord. Healing power will go out and you will touch his mind and that you will touch his body and anything that from his past, God, everything will pass away, Lord, and everything will become brand new. Make him a new creation in Christ now, Lord. Holy Spirit, touch him, fill him, baptize him, and just do supernatural, amazing things in his life, in the natural realm, Lord. Put that call in his life and whatever is going on in his life where he feels stuck, Lord, release that and let him move forward, Lord, so we can walk into that that life that you created him for, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 All right, man. Well, hey, listen, get a hold of me. Okay?
All right. I don't have a license right now, but I got a pretty good wife. And
No worries, man. No worries. We'll do it. No worries. Okay.
All right, man.
Peace, brother.
God bless you.
You too, man. All right, let me give the number out. 888-564-6173. 888-564-6173. You know, I was out in the East Coast recently on that tour, and I got to be careful how I say this. Let's just say this. There was someone that was brought to me. I got to be very vague. There was someone that was brought to me that's been going to church, quote-unquote, has a relationship with God, but got exposed to pornography and stuff. No drugs or anything like that, just pornography. And the parents found out he was into some pretty gnarly things and getting into some pretty wild, crazy stuff, like dark stuff, let's just say. I've heard it all. I thought I heard it all until I heard this one. So I met up with him, and right when I walked up, he was just looking down, just all depressed, you know. I sit down and start talking to him, ask him what he's into, and he's not really saying anything to me, but I had some insight of what was going on with him because, you know, they told me. And basically I just said, hey, do you want to be depressed? Do you want to be like, you know, do you want to be like this? this is all you got. I mean, are you a Christian? Do you love God? If you're a Christian and you got to give your life to God, I don't know if you're into pornography or what, but you got to stop watching pornography. You got to give your life to God and just turn away from that stuff so you can feel joy and live that life that you were created for. If not, you're just, he's suicidal, you know, the whole thing. Just doesn't care to lie. He wants to die, basically. And basically what happened is I said, dude, do you want me to pray for you right now? I'm going to pray that you're going to get set free because there's something demonic going on. First of all, Christians can't be demon possessed. Okay. People say demon, you know, you can be a Christian and you can be demon possessed. That means God has no power. If you can be demon possessed and you're a Christian, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. So, he's not demon possessed, you know? So I just basically pray for him. And after I just pray that God will reach down and touch his life and that God will bring clarity. And if there's any strongholds or any demonic stuff that's around him, because he's exposed himself to pornography and different things. So clearly when you open yourself to the supernatural realm through these things, you're going to be spiritually oppressed. Mm-hmm. And we prayed. And right when I got done praying, I looked at him and I said, hey, what happened when we prayed? You know, God didn't tell me anything. I just asked him, like, wait, so when we prayed, what just happened? He goes, when we just prayed, I just felt like this heaviness lift, and I just felt clarity for the first time in months. Dude, next thing you know, I go, okay, well, that's awesome. God showed up, you know, amen. And I left. And then at the end of the event, I see him. He's like laughing, running around the event, totally having a great time. And the parents and them are just like, dude, he hasn't had a smile on his face for months. So this kid was a Christian. He gave his life to God. He was involved in church, but because of the things that he was exposing himself to, like you were struggling with pornography back and forth, whatever he was exposing himself to opened the doorways for the devil and the demons to come oppress him.
Yeah.
And they were oppressing him with like suicide. Like he wanted to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And he was like depressed and he had no joy and he was just like looking down and out because of, he wasn't possessed, but he was oppressed. And we prayed in Jesus' name that God would set him free from that junk. He asked for forgiveness and God just set him free right there on the spot.
Yeah.
So with this guy we just prayed for on the phone, you know, I don't understand the whole supernatural realm, but we do know that there's an enemy, Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
And God's working out his eternal plan of purpose and he's setting us free. He's getting rid of pornography. He's getting rid of drugs. He could heal minds. Maybe it's his mind. Maybe it could be anything. I don't know this guy, but I'm going to meet with him. But if it's you and you're maybe going through some of these things, just know that Jesus is the King. Mm-hmm. The mighty name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to set you free. Anything that that's going on in your life, that there's power in his name.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and it's been happening all over the place back at home too, man.
Tell me some more stories.
You came and
we have 3 minutes, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. You came in the beginning of the year. So this is a few months now, and just in my kids in the youth group, dude, middle school and high school, they've just been asking God by faith and God's been doing things, man. Kids have been just getting visions of God that have been speaking to other kids' lives, middle and high school.
Sick.
Like words of the Lord for other people, you know, when we're all praying together. People being healed, you know, someone's tail got healed, someone's back got healed, my wife's arm got healed, like,
dude, that's
all
sick.
Kinds of stuff just going down because the name of Jesus. And I taught them because we're going to the book of Acts.
Yep.
And you learn about the church through the book of Acts in the Bible. And one of the things I taught them was you got to pray in the name of Jesus because he's alive. And like you said, he's the King and he wants us to pray that way. He said, you ask in my name. So we pray.
Ask anything in my name.
Right. So they've been doing that, and then God's just been working.
So people that are listening, I would suggest go read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts because that's after Jesus died on the cross. He raised from the third day, and then he told his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait. And you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's when the gifts of the Spirit start manifesting, and these guys start tearing it up in Jesus' name. And the book of Acts, it's still open. It's like us. We're still living the book of Acts.
Yeah.
So we, as you read the stories in this book, they're healing people. They're getting, word of knowledge. They're getting visions. They're getting dreams. I mean, they're...
Demons leaving.
They're casting out demons.
Same thing.
They're preaching. People are getting saved.
Yep.
When I gave my life to God and I read the book of Acts, I literally was like, Jesus, I want to live the book of Acts. And literally, I've been living the book of Acts ever since I gave my life to God.
That's right.
It was a process. You know, he gets you going, but we can live this Christian walk. This is the walk that God has called us to live. All of us.
Yeah.
We can live this walk.
And it's sick.
And that's the exciting part about Christianity. You know, Christianity without just being like, I go to church on Sunday. You know, I've read through the Bible. Dude, that sounds so boring.
So lame.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I go to church and I'm like, hearing a Bible story, I'm like, sick. I'm like, God, show me what that looks like in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Live it out.
Yeah, I want to live that. Right. Show me that.
And then you do.
And you do. And you're like,
and it's
dude.
Sick. And God
so
works
good.
Like all over the place.
Amazing.
He does, man. He's just waiting. Floodgates.
All right, dude. We got like a couple seconds left. 30 seconds. Where can people find you? You got a church? You got a Zeal group? Tell me.
I'm currently working on a website that's I haven't even told you about, but ZealCCF for Calvary Chapel Fellowship. That's going to have all the youth information on it.
All right. Thank you, Jairus. We love you guys, and we will be talking to you guys next week. Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Grotheis, host of Truth Tribe, where we seek the truth through reason and evidence about what matters most. And we are not tribal, since truth is for everyone. Please join me at the Truth Tribe as I discuss the reasons for Christian faith, the Christian worldview, and moral issues such as abortion and gender ideology. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Truth Tribe on your favorite podcast app.